Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, welcome to Hollywood Crime Scene. This is Rachel Fisher.
Hi, this is Desi Jettikin.
We're back.
Back, baby.
Desi's feeling better.
Yeah.
She's rested. We wanted to make sure she was rested and ready to go.
That's right.
We got lots to talk about, and we really appreciate everyone's patience.
Let's go.
Let's go. We got a lot to talk about in part three of Mariah Carey. Now, where we last left off, Mariah met Derek Jeter at a dinner party in 1996, and it was an instant connection. Mm. At the end of the night, Derek walked Mariah to her car, and they said goodnight. By the way, my main source for this episode is Mariah Carey's book, The Meaning of Mariah Carey, and I also used a lot of old newspaper articles.
Okay.
Back to the story. Mariah remembers the rush that she felt of not only being out with her friends for a night, but also of walking alone next to this handsome athlete. Mariah's assistant gave her info to Derek's friend so that they could get in touch. It was kind of like a secret.
Ooh.
Passing of the information. Because she's still married to Tommy Mottola at this point. Unbeknownst to Mariah, Derek had really wanted to meet her. And he kind of secretly orchestrated, like, planning to go to this dinner knowing she would be there.
Ooh.
He had had a crush on her. So he told Mariah that he listened to her song, Anytime You Need a Friend, before every game. And that it was his favorite.
That's so cute.
Later, Derek would confess to Mariah that he had long dreamed of meeting her. He said, quote, I had this plan. I was going to come to New York. I was going to get on the Yankees. I was going to meet you. And I was going to steal you away from Tony Soni.
Oh, my God.
He called him Tony.
I mean, he looks like a Tony. He's got Tony vibes.
Tommy's too young of a name for me. I just can't. A grown man named Tommy is weird to me.
Yeah, I guess. Thomas.
Thomas. Yeah. If you're past the age of 40, you need to go by Thomas.
Tom. Unless you're like really hot. Maybe it would work.
Yeah, I think it's funny.
I think Tom, a lot of guys go by Tom, right?
Yeah. Anyway, it wasn't long before Mariah and Derek started communicating with each other on the sly. She would run off with her assistant for a pretend errand in her car so that she could have these short little phone calls with Derek.
Oh my God.
The conversations themselves weren't even spicy or romantic. She was just like wanted to talk to him. But there's no way that Tommy would have allowed her to talk on the phone with Derek Jeter.
No, he's not a dummy.
Yeah. Mariah started watching Derek's games. Like, she didn't even care about sports, but that's how much she was like, I'm going to watch this guy play baseball.
Imagine.
And she had to watch him in her home studio, like, in secret, because I'm sure that would have been suspicious.
Because he'd be like, why are you a baseball fan all of a sudden?
Yeah.
He'd be, like, looking at each guy, probably.
Who is it?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
She enjoyed the feeling of giddiness. After a few weeks of secret talking, Mariah was like, okay, we have to see each other. She couldn't stand it anymore. So they decided to meet at a pizza place in his neighborhood, and then they would meet there and then sneak off to his apartment.
Ooh.
Mariah remembers what she wore. Quote, I put together a warm chocolate moment. A soft, creamy, chestnut-colored, quilted Chanel leather miniskirt paired with a russet, fine-knit bandeau top and layered with a matching cardigan. There were brown-ribbed Wolford tights underneath, leading into a sleek, round-toed Prada boot. I loved those boots. I was serving textures and cocoa flavors. It was November, so I was giving an autumn in New York moment.
Oh, my God. She was serving textures.
And cocoa. The only hitch in the plan was that Mariah's driver was basically a spy for Tommy.
Ooh.
So this was a risky plan, and she had to, like, really figure out a way to sneak away from this driver and distract him.
Oh, my God.
So her assistant and her plan to have the driver take both of them to the pizza place. She's like, we want to get pizza.
What neighborhood do we know?
I don't know, somewhere in Manhattan.
Okay, so Manhattan.
Yeah. And she planned to get driven with her assistant to this pizza place. And once Derek arrived at the pizza place, kind of just like, oh, I just happen to be at this pizza place.
Right.
She would sneak out with him.
Ooh.
And meanwhile, the driver is like waiting outside in the car.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Not necessarily in front.
Yeah, he's just waiting outside. So when Derek arrived at the pizza place, the assistant ran back outside to the car to distract the driver while Derek and Mariah escaped out of the back.
Oh my God, this is so stressful.
They both pulled their baseball hats low on their faces as they walked through the back streets to get to his apartment. At the apartment, Derek popped a bottle of champagne that he said he'd been saving for a special moment. They drank and talked up on the rooftop. Then they kissed.
Oh my God, she's cheating.
And then it started to rain.
Oh shit.
And they were still kissing. It was one of those.
This is a music video.
Well, it became one, Desi. And we will talk about that. But it started to rain. She was so overcome by this like romantic moment, both of them. They didn't even notice it was raining. Aww. Her hair's getting wet. She's in her quilted chocolate mini skirt.
Yeah.
It's a moment. Mariah said that she was glad she was wearing her natural curls that night anyway, because she was like, well, at least I didn't ruin my blowout.
Right.
I don't have to be stressed about that. But unfortunately for Mariah, she had to leave and get back to the pizza place and into the car. Like, she could not stay long.
I mean, how long does it take to eat a slice? Right?
Yeah. I mean, Mariah does love food.
Right.
So it could be like where we go in thinking we're getting two slices, and then we're like, well, what else do they got here?
Garlic knots. Okay.
Should we get an order of garlic knots? So she, by the time she made it back into the car, she didn't even care if the driver noticed that she was soaking wet.
Yeah.
She was like so turned on.
Ugh,
it was like
great.
That feeling of just like ecstasy.
You're on like cloud nine.
Yeah. She turned up the volume on the radio and it was playing Shook Ones Part 2 by Mobb Deep. She was grateful that Tommy wouldn't be there when she got back. He was out of town. So she was like, ugh.
I'm going to go home and masturbate.
Kind of, yeah, basically. When Mariah returned home, she began working on a new song inspired by this excursion. It would be called The Roof. And of course, it would sample Shook Ones Part 2.
Oh my God.
Mariah says that the lyrics in The Roof describe exactly what happened that night with Derek and exactly how she felt.
Did Tommy hear this song?
Well, we'll get into that.
Okay.
Mariah became, I mean, she doesn't say, you know, Derek Jeter.
Right, but he must have been like, huh?
We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that. So after this excursion with Derek, Mariah just became emboldened to take more risks. She started pushing the boundaries in her relationship, sort of just being like, I'm going here.
Yeah.
Now. And especially since they were still like in group, or not group, but couples therapy, and the therapist
right.
was helping facilitate this anyway. So she was slowly giving herself more and more freedom.
Right. So it kind of looked natural because it was what they were talking about in couples therapy
yes.
as well.
In response, Tommy tried to woo her with gifts, like getting her a new car, because he's realizing he's like losing his grip on her.
Yeah. But the problem is Mariah's rich. She
right.
doesn't need gifts. Do you know what I mean?
Like, no, she can buy her own new car.
Yeah.
But Mariah wasn't relinquishing her newfound bits of freedom. One night, Mariah was sitting in the kitchen with two prominent music industry men when Tommy started going off about the new car that he had got Mariah and how it just didn't seem enough and how he thought she was going to leave him. He then picked up a butter knife and pressed it into the side of her face.
What?
The two music industry guys just sat there and watched Tommy do this and didn't move as he's threatening his wife. I mean, it's a butter knife, but
I was going to say, it's like simultaneously threatening and also stupid.
No, it's embarrassing, but horrific at the same time.
Yeah.
He then dragged the knife down the length of her face.
Ugh.
I mean, regardless of whether or not a butter knife can do physical damage, it was obviously meant to be psychologically damaging.
No, it's gross.
And threatening. And that was the final straw for Mariah. She kind of just like snapped and was like, I'm out of here. And so she left Sing Sing.
Oh, wow.
And moved into a hotel on the Upper East Side. Then they got formally separated. So while they were separated, Mariah and Tommy continued to see their therapist. And during a session, she told him that she was going to go on a trip. And at this time, they had agreed that they would see other people. She went to Puerto Rico, where Derek Jeter just happened to be. She spent the night with Derek in her room at the resort where she was staying at. They didn't have sex, but it was very romantic, and they held each other all night. On the plane ride home, Mariah started writing the song My All.
Oh, my God.
Which is a very horny romantic song.
Yes.
I mean, she is like fighting for her life in that song for just one night with you. Mariah didn't even care about what Tommy's reaction to these lyrics would be in this song. She was living for herself now.
So what is the status? Basically, they're separated, but they're still in therapy in hopes of possibly getting back together.
There's like a shred of a chance that they might work things out, but it's pretty much they've already agreed that it's acceptable to date other people.
Right.
And that she's moved out.
So in her mind, she's done.
Oh, she's done fully. But I think Tommy was still.
They're still kind of like, let's just try.
See, yeah, let's try. But she's like, yeah, this is going to end in divorce pretty soon.
Yeah.
My All would, of course, go on to become a huge hit single for Mariah on her 1997 Butterfly album. During production of this album, Mariah really advocated for the exact sound that she wanted and the producers and the artists that she wanted to work with. And overall, this album is decidedly more hip-hop than anything she had ever released before. Producers on the album include Puff Daddy, Q-Tip, and Jermaine Dupri. When Mariah played Honey for Tommy Mottola, he knew that he was not the inspiration for that song.
Look, if your wife names her album Butterfly, you're done. It's over.
It's fucking over.
Yeah.
In fact, Butterfly, which is a great song, she wrote that song from the perspective of Tommy, of what she wished he could say to her.
Oh, wow.
Which is really heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And kind of beautiful.
I mean, they should have never been married.
No.
But yeah.
No. So she plays Honey for him, and he says, well, I'm glad you were inspired.
That must be hard. Not that I feel bad for Tommy, but knowing you could never give your wife that, do you know what I mean? Like, he's got to know deep down.
Well, because suddenly there's this raw sexuality in her songs that hadn't been there before.
Right. And it's like, that's on you. Do you know what I mean? Because it's like, she's got it, but you're not bringing it out. Like,
he didn't give her that feeling.
No.
She's experiencing feelings that she has never felt before at this point.
Well, I mean, we didn't talk about another serious relationship. So this might be her first real, like, kind of love situation.
It was.
Yeah.
This Tommy, she lost her virginity to Tommy.
Oh, wow.
So she's 27 years old at this point. She's never really been in a serious relationship with anybody but him. And when she was with him, she never felt that like raw animalistic passion. Right. And now she's feeling it with Derek Jeter.
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa.
Then she's writing songs like Butterfly Honey.
And My All.
Yeah, it's just like.
Right. She's writing these like absolute bangers. Not that she didn't have bangers before, but it's like,
yeah,
she's taken it to the next level.
Because they're more sexual.
Yeah.
There's undertones.
She's like, in her sexy era.
Yeah.
And I love that. So, I mean, I remember when Honey came out. It was the summer between 5th and 6th grade. And anytime that music video came on MTV, I was downstairs popping my pussy to that song.
That was like a classic video.
Where she's on the jet ski.
Yes.
Oh, we're going to talk about the video in a sec. So, yeah, he's like, I'm glad you were inspired. The songs on Butterfly were just too real, as we said before. Too specific to be about her romance with Tommy.
Right.
He knew. And like I mentioned before, the only song that was really about Tommy was the title track Butterfly, which is like you said, you're done. The lead single Honey was really a rebirth for Mariah. The video too, which was like a mini movie portraying Mariah as an Ursula Andress type.
Right.
Emerging from the water, like a bombshell, gorgeous. And then at the beginning, it's like she's... There was like the mob boss, that guy with the curly hair. I forget the actor's name. And it's a very sexy video.
Yes.
Around this time, Mariah and Tommy signed divorce papers. Now that she was divorced, she felt that she was free to have sex with Derek for the first time.
Oh, so she was waiting for the divorce to be final.
She was waiting for the papers to go through. She was excited. She didn't know that she had ever felt this way about a man before, like this passion.
I'm nervous. She's got, it's so like the expectation is so high.
It's so high.
Ugh.
Like I said, Tommy was the only other person she'd ever had sex with.
Right. So, I mean, at least she's going to beat that. Probably.
Right. I'm sure that, yeah. I mean, the bar isn't that high. I'm going to guess. While Derek and Mariah's romance was beautiful, it was brief. They parted ways the following year in 1998, but Mariah looks back really fondly.
Wow, I'm shocked. For some reason, I thought it was so much longer.
I did too. I forgot that it was so short. I think because they were just everywhere.
Right. That's crazy.
Yeah, but she has nothing but good things to say about this relationship. It just kind of fizzled out. She said neither of us could sustain this fantasy idea of each other. It was like kind of they but both of them went into it with just too much fairy tale fantasy expectations.
Right.
And then when they both realized they're just like normal people kind of.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, well, that was fun. She doesn't have any bad things to say.
Right, but still.
And she does assert that Derek played this profound role in her life. He was a big part of this transitory time. He helped her move on from being trapped by Tommy and also helped her get in touch with her sensuality.
I mean, it sounds like she needed someone to kind of move on to get out of it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
At this time, Mariah realized that she needed to get off of Sony.
Yeah.
She's like, this is like the final frontier to get away from Tommy. Because she's still kind of being essentially controlled by him in a way.
As an artist.
And Tommy was making it really difficult for Mariah to be released from her contract. So this was just a new way that he could assert control over her, even though they're divorced. She figured that she would have to go straight to Japan to ask the president of the entire Sony Corporation.
Oh, my God.
So she did that. She talked to Norio Oga, and she's like, I need to, like, get out of my contract.
I mean, and you can see why they'd want to keep her. I mean, she's a huge artist and moneymaker.
No, yes. She's their biggest star on Columbia. So they agreed that she would release 4 new albums over the next 5 years with Sony, and then she'd be released. And these albums would be one, like, all new songs, Rainbow, and then, like, greatest hits and remixes.
right.
albums. So in 1998, she recorded When You Believe with Whitney Houston.
Oh, right.
For the Prince of Egypt soundtrack. Mariah really wanted to dispel the sexist notion that these two powerhouses were in petty competition with each other for best diva. She said she loved working with Whitney, and they both really respected each other as artists. She's like, there was no beef. There was no feud.
I follow this really good Instagram account. I think it's called like Bobby and Whitney, and it's like all Whitney Houston clips, basically.
Oh, I know that account.
Yeah, it's so good. And they have been playing some clips about this period with Whitney. I'm sorry, with Mariah.
No, they did the famous, we've talked about it before, the VMAs.
The VMAs. And then Mariah spoke at Whitney's memorial, too.
Oh, yeah.
And they posted a clip of that. So, yeah, it was, I like seeing those.
Mariah's next album, Rainbow, came out in 1999. Rainbow, of course, had the hit single Heartbreaker featuring Jay-Z. And this is the video that introduced us to Mariah's evil alter ego, Bianca. You know the video. They're fighting in the bathroom. It's Mariah on Mariah Crime.
Yeah.
She's wearing a dark brown wig with a mole on her face.
Yeah.
And they're brawling in the bathroom, kicking each other. It's a great video. She's got those... where you used to cut off the waistband of your low-rise jeans to make them even more low-rise, which
oh, right.
is insane.
Yeah.
It's an iconic video. Rainbow also featured the single Thank God I Found You featuring Joe in 98 Degrees. Now, I happen to like the remix of this better because it's an interpolation of the Keith Sweat song Make It Last Forever.
Oh.
It's great, yeah. And Nas is on that. The remix.
Oh,
it's
nice.
A great remix.
Yeah.
I think it's better than the original. The remix for Heartbreaker, also a banger. It's sampled Ain't No Fun and features DeBrat and Missy Elliott. And that's also another iconic video shot in black and white with Mariah in a metallic string bikini and hot pants outfit, looking very sexy. And in 2001, with her obligations to Sony and Columbia Records complete, she signed a historic $100 million deal with Virgin Records. I have like a visceral memory of this happening because I remember on SNL Weekend Update, it was either Jimmy Fallon or Tina Fey made a crack about Mariah Carey signing with Virgin and saying like she should have signed to Skank Records.
What? She doesn't even... She's not even really that skanky. Like, she's only fucked two guys, probably.
What does that even mean?
I mean, it's like a stupid joke, period, but it's not like they're talking about Madonna or someone who famously is fucking a lot of people. Even then, it's bad, but like...
Right.
She's not even... That's crazy.
I was young when I saw that, and I do remember because I'm like always been such a stan of being like so mad at that quip.
It's just a stupid joke.
And the more I think about it, the more mad. Because the joke isn't even accurate.
The joke is inaccurate and it's sexist.
Yeah.
Period. But it's just like...
And it's like, yeah, it's cliche.
Right.
It's hack.
Also, that's like way too like modern for someone to be making that kind of joke still, I think. Do you know what I mean? Like it's the
2000s. What's even worse is it might have been Tina Fey who said it. And I feel like that was the era of Tina Fey, like calling the women sluts a lot.
Right. And I feel like those jokes, it's like, it can be funny, but it's not just a catch-all for any, do you know what I mean? Like, it's like, there's always a way to make something funny, but most people just don't do it in the right way. Cause it's always mean. It's not like funny. I don't know.
Yeah. I just like, it was a thumbs down. It was a no for me, dog.
Yeah.
That joke.
No, it's bad.
So anyway, this is a historic record deal. It is like crazy.
Yeah.
At this time, Mariah was working on her next big project, a film and an accompanying soundtrack. Mm. Let's take a break here.
Yes.
We'll be right back.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify.
Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm the queen of starting a free trial offer and forgetting to cancel it, oftentimes being charged for months for something I'm not even using. If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes, but let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. With Rocket Money, I can see all of my subscriptions in one place, and if I see something I don't want, I can cancel it with a tap. I never have to get on the phone with customer service. They'll even try to get you a refund for the last couple of months of wasted money and negotiate to lower your bills for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is take a picture of your bill, and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. It's definitely saved me money, and now I can use that money to waste on things I do want. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Hollywood Crime Scene. That's rocketmoney.com/Hollywood Crime Scene.
Rakuten's Big Give Week is back with 15% cash back. It's a festival of savings with big cash back at hundreds of stores. Don't miss headliners like Canon, Fenty Beauty, and Dyson. I can't wait to shop for all of my summer fashion and beauty needs, and will definitely be checking out Ulta and Adidas. Rakuten really is the best way to shop. You can really save by stacking cash back on top of other deals, and during Big Give Week, the cash back is bigger than ever. It's the time to shop for everything you need for spring and summer, like clothing, outdoor gear, and travel. Membership is free, and it's all happening May 6th to May 13th. Join today for free and get an extra 10% cash back boost on top of Big Give Week cashback rates. Go to Rakuten.com or download the Rakuten app today. That's Rakuten. Shoppers get it. Rakuten is the shopping platform to save while shopping.
Development on Mariah Carey's film began all the way back in 1997 and was originally titled All That Glitters. The project was put on hold for the next few years, though. Mariah wrote the script with Kate Lanier, who wrote Set It Off and What's Love Got to Do with It. So, promising.
Wait, I feel like I forgot this, but I didn't realize that she wrote the script too.
She co-wrote it.
Yeah.
She co-wrote it.
That's crazy.
No, it's crazy. But listen, and although Mariah would have creative control over the music in the soundtrack to the film, the script for the film was butchered by studio input.
Okay.
So a lot was changed. The film was under Columbia Pictures and tangentially connected to Tommy. So she felt like from jump he was kind of trying to sabotage this endeavor because she's going out on her own and doing a project, a film project, and he had never wanted her to be an actress.
Right.
And make movies. Anyway, Mariah says that her original script was a lot edgier. Mm. She was like, this is New York in the 80s. It was going to be edgy.
Yeah.
I want to see the cocaine cut of Glitter.
Me too. Redo it.
Redo the movie. Make it hardcore.
I mean, I love New York in the 80s.
It's a great time.
Yeah.
You can't make it Disney. No. You shouldn't make it Disney. Mm-mm. But that's basically what happened. They completely studio noted the script up.
Mariah, send us the original script.
I want to read. Then we can be the judge.
Yeah.
Then we can be the judge.
We need to see.
So Mariah just felt like whatever power Tommy had, he was using to punish her by sabotaging her ideas for this film.
Yeah, I mean, I could see it.
She felt that he wanted to prove that she couldn't have success without him. She said, quote, he would have destroyed me before I exposed that he was no magician.
Yeah. I mean, I mean, though, this is movies, though. It's not like, do you know what I mean? Like,
it's not.
It could have failed anyway.
It could have failed anyway. It's not his department, but she did think that.
I believe it. I definitely think he was probably like, fuck her. Like, maybe he didn't do anything aggressive, but maybe he didn't help out.
Now, there is some other evidence we're going to get into about ways he might have attempted to sabotage the music.
Okay.
The music coming forward. Ahead of the film's release, the lead single for the soundtrack, Lover Boy, that's the single, came out in June of 2001. Let's talk about Lover Boy. By now, pop music enthusiasts know that Lover Boy originally featured a different sample than the Cameo one. Mariah had originally chosen Firecracker by Yellow Magic Orchestra, which is a song from 1978, and she had already paid for the rights to use it in both the film and for the song. But executives at Sony got wind of this, and somehow one of their new artists released a new single featuring the sample before Lover Boy could come out. That song was I'm Real by J-Lo. And it came out in January of 2001.
Okay, so if you buy the rights to sample a song, someone else can also buy the rights?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because there's multiple songs with the same samples.
Yes, I guess I was just wondering if people can purchase, like, and no one else can have it for 2 years. Do you know what I mean? Like a time frame?
I don't think it works like that.
Yeah.
Because Honey actually uses a sample that AZ had used.
Right.
In a song.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying people can get fucked over.
Right.
That way.
Right.
Not intentionally, but that's just the way it works.
They can. And I think this was, yeah. It's also different too, because these are two pop artists using the same sample within like quick succession, like within the same time frame. It's not like, oh, AZ use the sample that Mariah would use for Honey, but like that song's completely different and it's like a rap song and it came out like earlier.
But the bottom line is, if Mariah was still with Columbia or Sony,
she would have got that sample.
They wouldn't have given it to another artist because they would have known she was using it. Do you know what I mean? Like,
right. But she thinks that
they did know.
These executives got wind of it.
Yeah.
And like, what are the coincidences that their big artist, J-Lo, would get this sample?
Right. And it's not like a sample that is like really, that's not like a popular song.
It's not the Isley Brothers,
right,
who have been sampled to death. I mean, I love the Isley Brothers, but it's an obscure sample.
It's an obscure, more obscure sample that you definitely know J-Lo didn't know.
No.
Know of.
Come on. Come on. In Mariah's book, she doesn't mention J-Lo by name. Instead, she refers to her as, quote, a female entertainer who I don't know. Honestly, the shade of calling her an entertainer is like chef's kiss.
That's like the perfect term.
She's not a singer. She's an entertainer, darling.
Yeah. Who I don't know.
Who I don't know.
I love it.
Next episode, we're going to get into the beef, the alleged feud between J-Lo and Mariah.
The entertainer.
The entertainer and the elusive chanteuse, Mariah Carey. Mariah had to find a new sample. And personally, I think the second choice was the best choice. Lover Boy would now feature Candy by Cameo as a sample.
Yeah.
Which honestly is inspired. And I've heard she did release, like, kind of recently on a compilation, like, rarities album, the original version.
Ooh.
With the Yellow Magic Orchestra. And I'm sorry, but you know what? This is like divine intervention, because the Cameo version is just so much better.
Yeah.
So Larry Blackman of Cameo would actually appear in the music video, which was shot by David LaChapelle.
Oh, wow.
Between the stress and long hours spent working on the film and soundtrack, the press tours, events, and shoots, Mariah was not doing well. She wasn't sleeping, and she was suffering anxiety. She felt like the label also wasn't doing enough to promote the album, and so she took it upon herself to conduct her own little publicity stunt. In June of 2001, Mariah made a surprise appearance on TRL. Host Carson Daly was about to go to commercial break when Mariah waltzed onto the set, pushing an ice cream cart, wearing an oversized t-shirt with Lover Boy airbrushed on it. She wasn't wearing any pants, just the big t-shirt and a pair of high heels. The crowd erupted, though. They were like, oh my God, it's Mariah. Everyone was screaming. She's like hugging the fans. They're losing it. And Carson Daly is going like, whoa, it's Mariah Carey. What are you doing here?
Huh?
And she's like, hi, I brought ice cream. And he's like acting all like weirded out and like, oh my God, is it my birthday? Like he can't believe that she's on set. Now, I hadn't seen this since it aired, but I did rewatch it like yesterday, and she does appear a little erratic in it, which is interesting because I do vividly remember watching this when it happened and then the aftermath and not really getting why people had the reaction they had, like the level of reaction.
Did Carson know she was coming?
We're going to get into that because that was part of the, that was part of it.
That's what I was thinking.
She's kind of just like, yeah. I mean, I still don't think it's the, like, should have been the scandal it became. I still don't get it. I still don't really get it. And I do think she got thrown under the bus.
Yes.
So let's get into this. So she's pushing this ice cream cart. She then takes off the t-shirt that she's wearing to reveal a pair of gold hot pants and a halter top. And this is when Carson Daly exclaims, Mariah Carey is stripping on TRL. And he was like, you're a superstar and you just walk in here. And Mariah Carey responds, because ice cream is important. You could have drama in your life, but the problem is if you don't have ice cream in your life, you might just go a little crazy. Now, Mariah says that this surprise crashing of the set was planned, but definitely unrehearsed. Mariah said Carson just wasn't playing along, and it was making her really nervous.
Right.
Because he wasn't yes-anding her.
Right.
And sort of like overreacting, too freaked out by it. And I think
that made her act weirder.
Yes. Mariah also says, oh, and by the way, I wasn't stripping. I was revealing.
Yeah.
And I think I remember that was something I took umbrage with, too, because she was wearing more clothes underneath the shirt.
Right, but putting that word there made it seem more like negative. Yeah.
It was a pointed choice of word. While she admits that the stunt was very messy, she felt that Carson was acting like she was crazy. Mariah says that that's just the way she likes to communicate with her fans. Sometimes it's a little too unfiltered, and she felt like she was just trying to be like down to earth and real and not like polished, I guess.
Right.
She's like, this was a failed stunt, essentially. Like, yes. It sounded like a good idea at the time. I thought it was going to be a really cute moment, pushing an ice cream cart
right
to promote my new song, and it just flopped.
It is kind of interesting, though, because why did it flop? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't seem like it would flop.
I think that's the thing I just never could.
Like, it's not that crazy what she did.
It's honestly not. And that's what I was trying to figure out again, rewatching it now, like yesterday, trying to figure out, okay, what were people talking about that this became such a big scandal? And the only thing I could think of is like she looks nervous.
I think the only thing that makes it truly insane is thinking she literally just came on set without any warning and started taking her clothes off.
Well,
do you know what I mean? That's the only way it's crazy. If it's planned, it's not crazy at all.
Now, this is what Mariah says. She says, TRL was a stunt gone awry. And let's be clear and logical. There's no way that I, Mariah Carey, or anyone else could actually crash an MTV show, much less with an ice cream cart, no less. Maybe, I don't think she said no less twice, that's me. Maybe Carson Daly didn't know I was coming, but producers had to schedule my appearance, coordinators, publicists, security, whole ass teams of people knew I was coming.
And it's not like Mariah went and got the ice cream cart. Someone got that too. Like, it's just, I just feel like the only thing that makes it unhinged is if she truly was like, where am I? Oh, I'm just pushing an ice cream cart onto the TRL set.
But that's what the media said. Yeah,
I know. But that's like, it's like the minute you know that that's not the case, then it's just kind of like, oh, that was awkward. It went awkwardly. Yeah. That's it.
No, in Mariah's head, she's like, okay, that was kind of a flop. And that was like a little unrehearsed.
Yeah.
Like it was too unrehearsed.
Right.
But she has a point. And you, like you said, there's no way she could just walk on, even if she is Mariah Carey, like there, she has a PA getting that ice cream cart.
No. And people are getting her to the stage. Like the whole thing is crazy to think that it wasn't planned.
She said that this failed stunt set off a domino effect in the press where she became just this easy target and sort of the butt of the joke.
Well, because now everything she does is seen through the lens of she's crazy. Yes. And unhinged.
Yes. Like. And the media was vicious. I mean, really vicious. Mariah also laments how difficult it was back then as a star to have any kind of mishap or public embarrassment because stars weren't as able to control a narrative through social media or have like a mass of fans defend them on social media,
right,
or cheer them on. She says that the news cycle was also a lot longer back then. And I mean, it's true because today something stupid can happen and then we forget about it the next day.
Because something new has popped up.
Something stupider happened the next day. Mariah posted a message to her website around this time that like, the press was also like, what the hell? She's crazy. The message said, what I'd like to do is just take a little break or at least get one night of sleep without somebody popping up about a video. All I really want is just to be me, and that's what I should have done in the first place. I don't say this much, but guess what? I don't take care of myself. Mariah said she was exhausted. She just wanted one day off, away from the events and obligations, and away from her constantly ringing phone. She tried hiding out in a hotel, but she was found by her mom and her brother and her management team. Like, they were like, Mariah, we need you to do this. And she's like, dude, I just want to, like, take a nap.
It does make you realize how, even just this short period ago, like 20 years ago, something gets out, a story, you don't have an immediate access to like rebuke it or whatever, rebut it. So it's like days go by and it builds before your statement might get out there and seem even crazier because it's like maybe not directly related anymore to what's happening at the moment.
Yeah.
And it's like you can see how social media has helped a lot of famous people sort of immediately get on record.
Or proof, like, I'm alive, I'm here.
Right, like, she could have immediately tweeted after the TRL, like, whoops, that went terribly. Like, right. We had planned the whole thing. Like, she could have immediately, like, put that down.
Right. So she's, like, hiding out at a hotel just trying to get away. And her mom and her brother and her management show up. And so she's like, oh, my God, like, leave me alone. So she decides she's going to go to Brooklyn to her friend Marianne's apartment and be, she's like, no one's going to find me in Brooklyn at this little unassuming apartment.
Right.
I just need to like hang with my girls and like not work.
Yeah.
For a day. Cause like,
going nonstop.
This has been nonstop. She hasn't been sleeping. She hasn't been eating. She's been doing promotion. She's under the stress of thinking like her label isn't supporting her enough with the promotion and that she's just sort of running on fumes.
Right.
Basically, that's where her head is at right now. So her management ended up tracking her down in Brooklyn, and they sent her brother Morgan to go get her, like the record company. And they were like, we need Mariah to shoot a promotional video for Glitter. And Mariah's like, I don't want to shoot a fucking promotional video. I want to take a nap.
Yeah.
But she was like, okay, I get why they would call my family to try and get a hold of me. But she was like, I guess they don't know. Like, I'm not on the greatest terms with my brother and my mom.
Right.
So
that's great. Like, that's infuriating.
So that's also adding this other layer of stress. Because right. things, I mean, this is still not a healthy relationship.
No, and it's kind of humiliating.
Yeah. She recalls a time back when she first signed with Tommy in 1988, when her brother Morgan asked her for $5,000 to, quote, protect her from the people that would try and expose her secrets and family dirt to the press. He implied that he would hurt or kill her mom's then loser husband to, like...
And this is the guy who, he did a violent act as a child, right?
Morgan, yes. Morgan, okay, yes. So he was, like, troubled. He was violent towards the mom and the right. father. And so Mariah's recalling this instance that happened, like, right when she's coming up, where Morgan had implied that he would knock someone off if only she just gave him $5,000. And Mariah was like, well... I don't want someone knocked off, period.
Yeah.
And also she began to glean that he was just attempting to, like, extort her for money.
Right. It was threatening.
Because when she, before that, like, when she was recording her demo and when she was, like, living at his apartment, he lent her $5,000. So even though she had repaid him, like, a thousandfold, she always felt like he had that initial $5,000 that he lent her to record the demo just, like, hanging over her.
Right.
So when he asked her, like, oh, I just need $5,000.
Well, it's also like saying something like, you know, if anyone wants to put dirt out on you, like, it's like, I have the dirt.
Yeah. That was the other kind of subtext.
Definitely.
Of that, to put this, instill this kind of fear in her.
And she has a family who regularly, or at least now, go to the media with stories about her.
Yes.
So she didn't need them in on her private business, period.
Yeah. So Morgan is sent by the record label to pick Mariah up in Brooklyn. And she says, like, she was just so beaten down and tired and not at her full decision-making capabilities that she agreed to go with him to their mom's house, thinking that, okay, we'll go upstate to my mom's house. I'll get some sleep there at least. And I can just, like, chill out.
Yeah.
And, like, kind of process everything that's gone down. Like, this has been a crazy summer. So Mariah's mom, Patricia, lived upstate in a house that Mariah had actually bought for her back in the early 90s. In hindsight, Mariah realized that absconding to a house with her mom and brother would have been a bad idea while she was in a fragile state.
Right.
She's like, now see, she's like, yeah, that was stupid. Like, especially since I was so fragile.
Yeah.
It was dumb going and walking into this, like, hostile situation or a situation that could turn hostile.
It's highly fraught. Like,
it's a fraught place. Mariah did bring her friend Mary Ann with her, though. She said when she arrived at her mom's house, quote, the house smelled of calamity and dog hair.
Oof.
Like, she was already on edge. Yeah. She was, like, picking up dog hair. She needs things, like, decluttered, and the house was, like, very... It was, like, already stressful.
Yes.
Just getting there. So she trudged up the stairs to the guest room and collapsed onto the bed. She had been going on about 2 hours of sleep for the last week. But just as she drifted off, she was awoken by her mother's booming voice saying, they're looking for you. The record label was looking for Mariah.
Oh, my God.
Mariah was pissed that her own mother cared more about the label than her daughter just getting some rest.
Right.
Mariah says, quote, this was the last straw. I really did leave my body. Like, she was enraged that she had, like, just fallen asleep, finally. And her mom wakes her up because the label.
Right. The label's on the just, like, so irritating.
Like, frantic and panicked.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know when someone wakes you out of a sleep when you just started sleeping? It's, like, the worst thing in
yes.
the world. Mariah lost it. And she started screaming at her mom and then began imitating something that her mother always said to her. Mariah starts going, well, I did the best I could. Well, I did the best
oh,
I could.
Oh, my God.
And she said, that's all you ever say.
Oh, my God.
She's going off.
So this is like letting all of the past feelings come out.
Oh, it's all coming out.
Yeah.
And she's like letting the chopper spray. She's giving it to her mom.
And the mom's probably like, oh,
like, oh, offended. She's so offended. And she's Mariah's basically like, I spent my entire childhood witnessing my brother and my sister having tantrums. This was my turn.
Yeah.
Like, finally, I was going to be angry.
Yeah.
Like, and so Patricia, her mom, shot Mariah a threatening look of how dare you. Like, it was a scary look. Mariah was worried that her mom would do what she often did when she felt unable to control her black children, a dangerous thing, calling the cops.
Oh, no.
Mariah recalls one Christmas a few years back in Aspen when she called the cops on Morgan just because she couldn't find him at the hotel.
Jesus.
So the cops busted down Morgan's hotel room and there he was asleep, naked, ass up on the bed.
Oh, my God.
Mariah says that she never invited her mom or her brother to Christmas in Aspen again.
Yeah.
She says, quote, I really don't want a lot for Christmas, particularly not the cops. Mariah's mom did call the cops that night on Mariah.
Oh, my God.
Two white cops entered the house to find a sleep-deprived and stressed-out Mariah, decidedly more haggard-looking than her usual glamorous self. She was just wearing leggings and a t-shirt with, like, her hair piled up on top of her head. Defeated, Mariah let the cops remove her from the house and drive her away in a squad car.
Ugh.
She's just like, fine.
Yeah.
Take me.
Get me out of here.
She asked if they could drop her off at a facility that was referred to as a spa. She said the locals referred to it as a spa, but this was not a spa.
Yeah.
She just wanted sleep and quiet. She's like, anywhere, just take me somewhere private so I can sleep. She signed into the facility and was taken to a small room. From the bed, she could faintly hear people talking outside, laughing, even saying Mariah Carey.
Wait. I mean, I have to question her, though. Did she really think this was a spa? I'm sorry.
No, it was the celebrity, what celebrities call a exhaustion facility.
Right,
a spa.
Right. So she knew where this was, though.
She knew this was not a foot scrub.
Right, right, right.
Spa. She's just being cute in her
got
book.
Got it.
But
got
the
it.
Locals did refer to it as a spa.
In air quotes or whatever.
Yes. Though she did sleep that night, she wasn't relaxed, and this place, of course, was not a spa.
Right.
She said the food was disgusting.
Well, I don't doubt that.
She was not happy about the food.
What did she do? She signed herself in for the night? I mean, I don't know how it works.
She said she signed herself in. I don't know. She's in, like, a complete zombie state at this point, I think.
Right. Okay.
She also says she's, like, doesn't really... It's not. The memories are also not that great.
I believe that. I'm just curious. I guess I don't know what the process is, period, on like how you check yourself into a facility like that. Is there like a time frame you have to agree? Do you know what I mean? Can you just stay one night or is it like...
I only have experience with being 5150'd and with being, well, I wasn't full. Actually, 5150 is longer than what happened to me.
Right.
That's like a little more hardcore.
So this is something less than that with Mariah.
This is like voluntarily signing yourself in. I don't...
So you probably can voluntarily leave at some point.
You might volunteer to keep yourself on like a 72-hour hold.
Got
it. I honestly don't know like what
No, I was
exactly.
just curious. Yeah.
But in rehab, you can walk out the door anytime you want. You just can't come back.
Right.
And they got your money.
Right, you're not going to get a refund.
You're not getting a refund. So she's in this place. The food sucks. She's like, ugh. Then she had also given up her purse and phone, like at the front, like because you can't have that shit.
Right.
They want you to be like isolated to heal, hopefully. So she met with an administrator to do her intake interview and told him, like, look, I'm really stressed out, exhausted, and I have to shoot this promotional video for my new movie, Glitter.
He's like, never heard that one before.
And she, yeah, I mean, that is like an insane thing to hear.
Right.
But she did say he was a dick, which didn't help. She was like, he was really like rude to me.
Right. And that's like a classic thing you see in movies and TV where that you're rude back to them and they're like, she's difficult.
Right. Yeah. She actually tried to leave the facility, but they wouldn't let her.
Okay.
So, yeah.
She got herself in a pickle.
She got herself in a pickle. Her brother had also gone with her to the facility. Like, her brother also was, like, riding with her in the cop car.
Oh, okay.
So, like, he came with her. I don't know if he...
It's a mess.
I don't know what's clear and what's not clear. Right. But it is true that she was hospitalized. So the press reported that Mariah Carey had been hospitalized. Her spokeswoman, Cindy Berger, cited extreme exhaustion, which is a classic.
Yeah.
We've all heard, I don't think they do exhaustion anymore.
No, I feel like there's a new one, but I can't remember what it is right now.
Yeah.
There's something that has replaced exhaustion.
But that was the go-to.
Yes,
to
that
sort
was
of
big.
The euphemism.
Right, in the early 2000s.
Yes. Cindy Berger, the spokeswoman, told the Associated Press, quote, she's been working round the clock. She was obviously very tired and not thinking clearly. Regarding the TRL appearance, the spokeswoman said, she just hasn't been herself for a little while, and maybe it just caught up with her. Now, Mariah was set to headline MTV's 20th anniversary party on August 1st, but of course she would have to cancel it because she was
right
in this facility. Mariah was diagnosed with bipolar 2 disorder.
Oh.
Something that she didn't open up about until many years later. She told People magazine in 2018, for a long time, I thought I had severe sleep disorder, but it wasn't normal insomnia, and I wasn't lying awake counting sheep. I was working and working and working. I was irritable and in constant fear of letting people down. It turns out that I was experiencing a form of mania. Eventually, I would just hit a wall. I guess my depressive episodes were characterized by having very low energy. I would just feel so lonely and so sad, even guilty that I wasn't doing what I needed to be doing for my career. When Mariah was released from the facility 2 weeks later, she returned to her mother's house to retrieve her things. The New York Post printed paparazzi pictures of her arriving to the house with an accompanying article. Mm. The headline read, Moody Mariah Stays Cool at Mom's Place. The article said, a pajama-clad Mariah Carey wearing shades and sipping a drink was spotted yesterday. I mean, a soda.
I know, but it's just like the way they phrase it, like sipping a drink. It's like it's something bad almost.
Oh, yeah, yeah. A pajama-clad Mariah Carey wearing shades and sipping a drink was spotted yesterday strolling in the lush garden of her mom's suburban home, where the singer is recovering from a nervous breakdown. Oof. In the first photograph since the 31-year-old diva was released from Connecticut's Silver Hill Hospital on Tuesday, Carey sported a jaunty ponytail and appeared cool and calm despite the oppressive heat. The Post article continued, describing, quote, chilling new details from the 911 call that Mariah's mom had made.
This writer got paid by the adjective.
This article's diabolical.
Like the word choice, it's like, just say something factually. Why am I getting all these chillingly and like
right,
adverbs?
Right. And if you just say sources say, you could say basically anything.
Yeah. Who's the source?
I mean, I do get that there is like journalistic sources, but I don't trust the New York Post.
I mean, the New York Post.
It's the Post.
Yeah.
I should specify that I don't.
It's a gossip rag.
I don't trust the reporting not to be sensational and described in a rude way.
Well, this is a tabloid story.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not a serious journalistic investigation.
The article said that, according to a source, Mariah was heard in the background screaming and smashing plates and glassware, and then allegedly stomping on the glass, cutting her feet up.
What?
And that's what they said, a source said was in the background of the 911 call that
it's
her mom
like her
made.
Her mom and using a different voice.
Yeah. Now, the Post being the Post was salivating over the idea of a celebrity breakdown. Mariah's spokeswoman told the press, no, Mariah never threatened or attempted suicide, because that was another thing. I don't know if you remember that was that was going around, like, oh, she's going to kill herself, or she said she tried to kill herself.
I mean, this was a real heyday of pushing female artists, actors, celebrities to a point, watching them break down, and then that also being where you take them down further.
Like, yes.
It happened so many times during this period.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we've only now just started to like reckon with that society. I'm not saying everyone was on board with this. I'm just saying like...
In general, it was a huge tabloid story when this would happen. So that means there's an interest in it from the public.
Yeah. But it's so gross.
Yeah, it's really gross.
It's so gross reading these articles.
Well, because oftentimes it's not even accurate.
Right. And just even the way they discuss anything in regards to mental health, like they don't use the phrase mental health. They'll be like, bonkers, Mariah.
Right. And it's like, where's the men experience? You know what I mean? Like, you didn't see it as much with like male celebrity figures, I think.
We need to go I need to go look at the tabloid articles about Tom Cruise's couch jumping era.
Yeah, like, that's a good example. But I feel like even that was kind of like, what an idiot. It wasn't like...
I'd be curious because I obviously know that there is, of course, like sexism has driven a lot of these narratives because there's so many women examples we can point to. But I am curious about...
I feel like Michael Jackson had the lion's share of that kind of stuff. From the media.
Well, he did some truly weird shit.
I agree. But I'm just saying that's the one I can think of that they did constantly go after.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it's justified or equal to like the women, but like I'm just trying to think of a male figure.
Who got the early 2000s or 90s women treatment.
Right. And possibly didn't deserve it. Maybe it was a better
like it was clearly they were struggling with mental health issues.
Yes.
And it was.
I don't know. I can't think of one off the top of my head, but I could think of like 10 women.
Well, yeah. anyway, so yeah, these post articles are so disgusting. In an article from August 3rd, 2001, the New York Post claimed that Mariah's breakdown was due to the poor performance of her latest single, Lover Boy. And the, quote, deterioration of her romance with Latin crooner Luis Miguel.
Oh, wow. I remember this one.
Yeah.
Luis Miguel.
They also said, quote, a few months ago, Carrie hired San Francisco private eye Jack Palladino to, quote, check into all the bad press stories about her. Palladino and an unidentified lawyer have since badgered several public relations people trying to get them to admit they spread negative stories about the warbler.
The warbler?
They called her a warbler.
Here's the thing, though. Even if she is under a lot of stress and breaking down from having a breakup and a bad single, I'm not even saying those things are true. It's like, yeah, that makes sense. That you might have feelings of like intense depression and anxiety because you ended a relationship. Maybe your career's in a tanking mode. Like,
what a weirdo.
Yeah, it's like that all makes sense, actually.
Right.
If she's having all of those different things happen at once, that she'd be having a breakdown.
Right. Like they're acting like, oh, that's not enough.
It's like one of those things can do it. Like just a breakup, a bad breakup can do it. Like,
yeah. But we know, obviously, that's not, you know, everything that was happening.
Yeah.
It was like a lot more.
It's a lot
stuff.
More.
The article says, and blaming her ex-husband, music exec Tommy Mottola. So Jack Palladino, this private eye, told the Post that, yes, he was hired by Mariah Carey a few months back to, quote, pursue evidence concerning negative stories about Carey. He asserted that Tommy Mottola had been conducting a smear campaign against her. Tommy, of course, denied this. So Mariah was like, hired this guy to look into like...
Who's leaking these things?
Who's leaking things? Who's getting everyone on? Like, is this a smear campaign against me? This was like before the quote unquote breakdown happened. And like about, I think also about the Loverboy sample. Like, is there an internal sabotage happening?
Right. And that's definitely something I think that can make you look crazy.
Absolutely.
Like everyone's out to get me.
Right. Right.
It's a classic paranoia.
And we now know, you know, she might have been suffering from paranoia with this now knowing her diagnosis.
Absolutely. But I do think there's a little bit of truth there too. Who can defend Tommy Mottola that he wouldn't do things like this?
Right. These are things we know from his character.
Yeah.
On a June 9th review of Loverboy and Billboard by Chuck Taylor called Loverboy, quote, dangerously close to self-sabotage, and said, the mighty have fallen here. He told the Post that the accusations that his bad review was part of some deliberate smear campaign are absurd, and that Loverboy, quote, simply doesn't hold up to a lot of Mariah's previous work.
Really?
I really disagree with that.
I just don't find it, like, even if you don't, it's not your favorite, I don't think it's noticeably worse. Like, it's crazy.
It's not. Yeah. I don't even think every Mariah, I don't even, like, love every single Mariah Carey song. Like, I could, like, some of them I obviously like better than others.
Right.
But to say that about Loverboy, that's such a great pop song.
Yeah, I'm baffled by this.
Larry Blackman's in the video.
Yeah, I just, like, there's other songs I can see getting negative reviews because they're a little saccharine, or the power ballady ones can be kind of corny. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, but even then I'm like, it's not for me, but I can see a lot of people
why
like
it's
this.
Popular.
Yeah. It's like a wedding song or whatever.
If I see Chuck Taylor, Converse ass name, it's on site.
He should be embarrassed to take that good name. Put it into shambles.
So Mariah's brother Morgan called Mariah after she had gotten out of this facility. This is like weeks later, and invited her to come out to LA where he had been living at the time. He said he was going to take her to a real spa to relax. Instead, he checked her into a detox facility and rehab at UCLA Medical Center, where Mariah said she was put on heavy drugs. The New York Post was, of course, incredibly disgusting about their reporting on this. Cindy Berger, the spokeswoman, denied reports that Mariah had been staying at the El Conquistador Hotel in Puerto Rico and partying up a storm. She did visit the hotel, but there was no wild party. So, yeah, the press continues. She is staying at this UCLA medical facility, and one morning, Mariah awoke and wandered into the common room. The staff and the other patients were crowded around the TV. Mariah looked up at the TV and saw there on the screen the Twin Towers in New York erupting in flames and explosions.
Oh my God, she's in a rehab facility when 9/11 happens?
Yes.
That's so dark.
And that is where we'll leave off this week. What a cliffhanger.
Oh my God.
9/11.
You always forget about 9/11 when then it pops up in a story. You're like, whoa!
And you kind of like,
right.
You're taken aback.
That's so frightening.
But I do think when people think about glitter, sometimes they think about 9/11 just because of that.
Two disasters.
Well, okay.
No, I know.
But
I know
that
you
image.
Mean.
But that image.
Yes, that image.
That image of the video, it's obviously a horrific video. It's like really devastating. But it's sort of become in the last few years, I think the more removed we get from the horror of this tragedy, people have sort of, it's almost become like this morbid joke that you can see this big, huge glitter billboard in the, in the foreground of this image of 9/11.
It's dark humor.
It's very dark.
Yeah.
But yes, glitter did come out like a week after 9/11.
It's crazy to think about the things that came out around that time, because I do feel like all of them are kind of colored by the reception.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Like, just music that was released. Like, I'll always hear something and then I'll read about it. I was like, they're like, and it wasn't, it didn't take off because she couldn't do promotion because of 9/11 or like whatever. Like, there'll be some kind of thing. And I'm like, oh, shit.
Or they had to like cancel some TV episode because it featured like an explosion or whatever.
Right. That was huge.
Or like change the name of a song because it was like.
I recently rewatched a show where some episode was taken out because of that.
Oh, wow.
I can't remember what it was, but I remember I was like, what's going on here? It seemed something weird. And I looked it up. And the episode had been dropped, but they kind of just move on. without ever explaining. Like, it was something, I can't remember what it was.
Did something big happen?
I can't remember what it was. It might have, oh, you know what it was? It was 24.
Oh, shit.
There was some big explosion in 24 that they didn't air because of 9/11.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
That seems like a tough show to sort of,
well, because it's about terrorism.
It's about terrorism.
But it's kind of like, whoops, wrong topic for this era. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
What a wild time to be alive.
Yeah.
What a wild time to be alive.
It was definitely wild. But
I will say, well, the movie Glitter is not great. The soundtrack is very underrated. The album Glitter is great and should get its flowers.
Yeah.
It is a fantastic love letter to early 80s R&B, which is one of my favorite genres of music. It's great. There's a Sherelle cover on it. There is a cover of Last Night a DJ Saved My Life.
Right.
It is great, in my opinion.
And I wish it was a better movie.
I do, too. I wanted it to be.
The idea of it.
I was rooting for her.
Absolutely. And she's not a bad actress.
She's great in Precious.
Yeah. Oh, right.
She was good in Precious.
I forgot she was in Precious.
Yeah.
Remember Precious?
Yeah, I love that movie. Could only watch it once, though, because it was so dark.
Yeah.
But I did like the movie a lot.
That's a one-timer.
Yeah.
For sure. Okay, great.
We'll be back next week, and next week we will discuss Glitter, Fallout, 9/11, I guess.
We'll touch on it.
We'll touch on how that
is. Very special.
We're not going to talk about 9/11 next week. We might just touch on how it impacted the release of whatever.
But more importantly, we want to get to her beefs.
More importantly, next week, we're obviously going to talk about her comeback. We're going to finish it out next week with the comeback, the J-Lo beef.
Yeah.
The Eminem beef. Mm.
Yeah.
And whatever else needs to be said.
Yeah.
We'll post lots of pictures on our Instagram page. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1, only from Rust-Oleum.